explosive allegations. You're listening to the Jai and Woody Show, brought to you by sportsfunding.co.uk, the game changer for funding community and amateur sport. Welcome back to the Jai and Woody Show. We're joined by Big Boppers. Wakefield Big Boppers, is that what you like to be called?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Nah, he's the Big Bopper.
Big Bopper, Big Bopper
the,
1, Big Bopper 2.
I'm the guy behind
Dave Fafita and Tiarona, how are we, boys?
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
I was going to have a crack at that first name. Woody, you want to have a crack at that? First name?
T.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tea. What's going on, boys? How long will it take you to get here? We ask everyone this because we don't tell them. It's a bit of a shitstorm, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
it's only about 20 minutes from home.
Macca's on the way, or?
No, we just finished a bag of crisps in the car.
So easy. Right, well, yeah, we'll get right into the show. First of all, GB Performance Squad announced, whatever that means. There's about 30 names there. I won't read them all out. NRL players still have to be introduced to it, but the things that stand out for me, Sean O'Loughlin and, where is he, Stevie Ward. I hadn't even played a game all year, and he's got a call-up. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, so
there's a few weird?
Yeah, there's a few shocks selections in there. We always have one or two. Stevie's a bit of a wild card, really, to say he's not played much. Sean O'Loughlin's not played much this year, and they get a look in, so yeah, it's a funny one, but obviously the one that stands out is Blake Austin, which I'm not a big fan of.
We'll go straight into it. Boys, what's your thoughts on players that haven't initially said that they play for that country and then they end up playing for them?
Well, Blake Austin's from the area, so
he's
good to go, yeah.
He needed a bit of Western Sydney in that squad, so it's all right.
I've got no problem with it. He's not breaking any of the rules, is he? Obviously, if he was getting picked for Australia, he'd probably be playing for Australia.
He's becoming a bit like a selection policy at club level, though. Now, for me, this is where I disagree. If you sign professional contracts, you should put down who you want to put your allegiance to.
Well, so you do.
Blake Austin will put Australia. You can't say, well, I can't play for them now, so I'm going to go to England.
I put down Australia and New Zealand because I'm eligible for both. Look how that worked out.
Wish I'd
be Scottish in there. I might get a start. A little bit of, what are they called?
For the
Irish Wolfhounds. Yeah. No.
You told that story a few weeks ago, you played for the movies, which is out of order. But you know what?
Do you have a problem with where is he? What's his name? What's the fullback's name?
Lachlan Cooch.
You got a problem with him playing?
He's another Westie, see? Another Western Sydney.
Because
do you know what?
We're all from the area here. So.
Yeah, not as much because he's played for Scotland. And,
so you're okay with that he got in early?
He had Australia and then he put Scotland as his second.
I'm not keen. I just think if you sign professional contracts, if he was to ask Lachlan Cooch and Blake Austin who they wanted to play for as kids, they would have picked Australia. And now it's like, I'm not playing for them, so we'll choose England. That's like me putting my name down for England and then not getting picked and saying, well, my grandmother's Irish, so I'm just going to choose them now because I want to play.
That's what everyone does over here.
That I don't agree with it. It's called integrity.
It's within the rules, so
it is within the rules, and I don't agree with the rules.
So we're talking about growing the game. Don't you want to see these players, like if it's the best man for the job and he's within the rules, Blake Austin should probably get the shirt, right?
It's becoming club rugby for me. It's like we're just going to pick the best. I know it's within the rules, but it's not for me. And I just think just let me finish on this one. We're trying to grow this game internationally in England, right? And we've got a lot of young kids playing amateur game now whose dreams are playing international rugby. And you know, they're getting blocked out by these Aussies who are coming over.
All right, so what about in the same respect over there? So like your brother, Taumalolo, who eligible for Australia and New Zealand, but then play for Tonga. Because that's a second choice, really, isn't it? Because obviously there's the incentive of, what is it? I think it was 50 grand or something you get.
To play for Australia or New Zealand.
And they're taking, probably next to nothing playing for Tonga.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not going to disagree with these two guys because they're a bit bigger than me. But no, but from an England standpoint, obviously I'm an English lad, and
you're stuck in your ways.
I just want to see English lads in there, and I just think.
Don't you want to win?
But it's not English, just English lads, is it? It's the Irish lads.
Well, English, Irish,
so
Scottish,
it's all English, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, Danny Brough when he was back Danny in his heyday.
But I just want to see the lads.
He was in the England side, wasn't he?
He played England, but he played basically GB was just England team with like whoever's that one good Scottish player.
So, a few others, yeah.
Like Brian Kearney was Welsh. He played for GB, so it's obviously made up of Ireland, Scotland, England, and Wales. But that's who I want to see in the squad. And I don't think we need to pick Blake Austin in that squad. You know what I mean? I don't think we need to pick Lachlan Cook in that squad. I just think it's making a mockery. I think George Williams is good enough. You know what I mean? I think
Williams
and Lomax, I think, if Zach Erdick or Sam Tompkins, you know, they're
like not even in there.
I know he's not in there, but what I'm saying is we don't need to pick Lachlan Coote because Zach Erdick is just as good on his day, so use the English guys. And
Do you need some of them other teams, like Scotland, Ireland?
Yeah.
Because it is a great British
squad. You may as well just go England, eh?
Yeah.
Why have they brought GB back anyway? Why do they even have that back? May as well just be England, eh?
In some respects, yeah. I mean, Joe Philbin played for Ireland, didn't play for England. Joe Philbin played for Ireland. He's in the squad. There's a couple of lads in there who have played for Scotland and Wales. And
see, this like GB side, I'd like to see a Pacific Nations team, like with Samoa, Fiji, all of them there put into one
that's
team.
That's pretty much what we've got.
Having them two go at each other, it's like pretty much what you.
Because you've got like the Aboriginal All Stars.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a strictly Polynesian team. And I reckon it'd be pretty good because NRL's pretty much dominated by Polynesians now. Right, what are we talking about? Wakefield relegation run-in. Boys, how's it been out for so long with injury? You copped a few injuries this year. I mean, you started really well, came out like a bullet out of a gun, and then it's just sort of tapered off. But you've had a fair run of injuries, haven't you?
Yeah, we've had a fair few, actually. I remember, I think when I got injured, we were sitting at third at the time. And then it's been downhill since. Been about 2 months later, I signed a 3-year extension and play on.
Curse of the long deal.
It's been tough though. The boys are battling away and they're just trying to find their own way of getting their wins, and hopefully after this weekend we should be more comfortable.
Yeah, well, the win seals it for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't just, you lost a few other forwards. You lost both wingers, didn't you, at one stage? Yeah. Obviously,
both halves.
John's out for the year. It's a tough run, that, isn't it?
Yeah, there was one game during the year where we had, I think it was 12 of our starting 13 not available, all injured.
Yeah, you're never gonna get through an entire year with that, are you? I mean,
most of the season we've had, it's not just the when we've had injuries, it's most of all our leaders of this group.
Yeah.
It's all the senior blokes who've been injured, so. Hasn't really helped us, but the boys they've done a job and stood their ground, so it's good.
Yeah, you've brought a few in. Fullback's name, French fullback.
Esker.
He's gone all right. I mean, you've got one game secures you back in the Super League next year. A loss turns the heat right up, and it's basically £1 million game. How's the chat been going into this week and next week?
I haven't been around the boys that often just because
we can't do nothing.
I'm in the gym.
Both just signed. Yeah, just both just re-signed.
Recruitment's been well.
We've been slogging away in the gym. Talking to the other boys, they all seem pretty positive, but it's been like that, week after week, and they're just trying to stay on top of it and do the little things. And you know, it's all those little things that win games.
Exactly. You need to get rid of that Jacob Miller, that little run. Then you used to be sorted, eh? But right, other news, Eamon McManus, so the owner of Saints, he's come out and just absolutely bombarded referees. Did you see this?
Yeah, did you see this?
I've
seen this.
What do you think about owners coming out and just hammering these refs at the minute? Because it's happening quite a fair bit. Even the players are doing it on the field.
Yeah, it is creeping in. I mean, if I look back when I first started playing, I mean, it was...
You just punch on with them, eh?
No, but there was a lot more respect. You didn't answer them back. You know what I mean? You won't go speaking to them. It was like, yes, sir. And, a decision was a decision. And now it seems to be creeping in a little bit where there's a bit more back chat. And I don't agree with it, but I can see where Eamon McManus is coming from.
It's a little bit different when it's printed on the back of your programme.
Yeah, I think the thing what gets me is he's basically... From reading the column that he's given, he's saying that Chris Hicks made the decision based on what Warrington did the week before with the referee, building a relationship with him and doing where the fan threatened to shoot Chris Hicks, and then they sat in front of each other and they did this, publicity thing. But I don't think that had any impact whatsoever on that game and in making that decision. So he's basically criticising Chris Hicks for something he did in the week building up to the biggest game of the year. But yeah, Robert Hicks is... I don't think he had, him doing what he did in the build-up to that game had no impact whether he made that decision or not. And reading Damon McManus's column, he's basically saying he was favouritism with Warrington because of what they did, and I don't agree with that. But at the end of the day, he's made a bad decision, and referees make bad decisions. And
you know, what do you think of the decision? Did you just catch the Challenge Cup final? Did you see that decision in the first?
Yeah, I watched it. I can see where they're coming from. If you're part of
he's tried to make a call on the spot, but he's fucked it, hasn't he?
Yeah, it reminds me of when Andrew scored that try and they just said no try against England
in that last semi. Minute. Very first few minutes of a game. Yeah. Massive game. I mean, I know he's tried to speed it up and go, yeah, look, if he gets that right, that's a cracker and fair play. Yeah. But he stuffed it massively.
It was a big decision and it's a big call. But like I say, I mean, people make mistakes, players make mistakes, referees, you know, it's just got to... Basically, the word is accept it. If you accept it and move on, you know, they've got a big finish to the season for Saints now. So that game's gone. Warrington have won it. It's in the history books.
What are you saying? You're saying they're going to do it?
I think they've got a good chance. I mean, I listened to Alex Walmsley when John Wells does the analysis after. They didn't do anything about the game, but they spoke to Alex Walmsley, which I thought was pretty good. And he spoke about Justin Albert coming in and changing the culture and, you know, building the club back up as a community club and, you know, getting the attitude of the players right. And they just seem like they're really focused to win that grand final, and losing that Challenge Cup like galvanised them, I think, by the sounds of it.
Well, 3 weeks ago, if you asked me, I would have said Saints are going to just wipe the floor with everybody. But now I'm thinking back to the semi-final when we beat them at Cass. I mean, they slipped up again. They've slipped up in the Challenge Cup final. They slipped up in last year's. I mean, I'm starting to think maybe they... You know, like a bit of pressure get to them.
You guys will be able to tell us because you've played against them, but do you feel the head and shoulders above everybody else when you've played against them this season?
Yeah, I think overall, definitely, the benchmark team. I think this year they've done things differently in terms of resting players. Mm. That game where they played London, which stuffed up everyone down the bottom of the table.
Should have been filthy about that. Twice as well. They got him twice.
All right at that stage, but
you do that for.
Yeah, if that didn't happen, we're safe. We're good to go.
Yeah, it's happened to us twice down there, so we're not the only ones.
But, I think they're probably trying to find ways again on how to right their wrongs from last year.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Let's look at the run in then. So obviously Saints are safe. Wigan 32 points. They're basically safe. Yeah, some weird shit needs to happen for them to fall out. Warrington is the most surprising because 3 weeks ago they were safe. They've only won one game of their last seven, which was a Challenge Cup final. Yeah. I mean, they can completely miss out. Salford, they're going great guns. Six of last six, I think.
Six from six,
Hull FC, and they're playing Cass on 28 points. Basically, Cass win that, they take Hull FC's spot. Hull FC's got a pretty shitty for and against. How do you see it going, boys? Obviously, Saints and Wigan are in there. Who gets the other three spots?
I think Salford's the informed team at the moment.
Yeah.
I watched their game, was it last Thursday?
Yeah.
And, you know, the boys, they just seem like they're just competing right across the pitch. Mm. You have Hastings seems like he's one step ahead every time, and then just their support play. You know, I think in transitions, as soon as they get the ball back, bang, they're ready to go. Yeah.
Or a better question is, who misses out, really? That's a tough one, eh?
I think it comes down to this week: who's the loser of Cass and Hull FC? Whoever loses out will miss out.
No, I mean, on form, Warrington miss out if you exclude the Challenge Cup final.
Who's Warrington versus last?
They've got Leeds away.
Warrington's got
Leeds away.
Yeah, you guys then Leeds.
I think Leeds are done. They know they're safe for next year. I think
they could be queuing the rack.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tricky one. Woody,
who you got?
I think Cass will scrape in. I don't know where Hull FC
is. Isn't Hull FC their bogey too?
Hull FC have got Saints at the end, which again could be another cue in the rat game for Saints. Or, you know, they might play a full team because with the system that fixtures how it is, you've got weeks off in there, so they might just play a full team.
I'd like to see Salford get in though. Have you ever seen that film Moneyball? Yeah. Seen Moneyball.
I like to tell people I have, because everyone always says to me, "Have you not seen Moneyball?"
Moneyball's a good film. Yeah. You watch it. It's about a baseball team who build a team on a budget.
That's Wakefield, mate.
Is that the one with Tom Cruise?
No.
That's what's that?
That's Top Gun.
No. What's on? We go. Show me the money.
Cocktail.
Fuck off.
Anyway, but Salford, watch Moneyball when you go home. It's about baseball team who build a team on a budget. But that's, well, it likens me to Salford because obviously they're doing it a bit better than you guys. But season after season, they keep building on one of the lowest budgets in Super League.
Yeah.
And Ian Watson's doing a great job there. And he's
called up in a GB assistant.
Yeah, called up as GB assistant. He's doing a great job. Since he's come into coaching, he has really excelled. He's an ex-scrum half, so obviously he's got that rugby brain on him. But
he played in the Legends game with you, didn't he?
He did.
How did he go?
I was a shit player, but he's a good coach. No, he's a good player, mate. He's very smart, Watto. He was a smart player as well. He knew where to hide when he was defending, and he was always there when the ball came available. But he's good at coaches like Darryl Pearl, I think, is a good one at this. He can get players who are sixes up to like an eight week in consistently, and he seems to be doing that with Salford. He can get the best out of the players that he's got. I think he's doing a great job.
Other than Hastings, there's not really any superstars in that team, eh? They all just seem to work well together as a team.
And
he's taking guys on loan as well. I mean, Lollahia, he's playing quite good footy
not
there.
To take anything away from you guys, I think your season's been dictated too much by injuries, you know what I mean? I think Chris Chester was doing the same. I think last time we met, you was, like you say, you were sitting third, you did that Wakefield takeover day. You were sitting third, and I remember Michael Carter, you know, he was like expecting big things, and then all of a sudden Tom Johnson got injured, and Danny Brough.
Yeah, he biggest try scorers.
You lose it, like, to yourselves, Tom. Mate. You know, but, mate, you lose that calibre of player, and that's a lot of your salary cap gone.
Paulie went over there on loan for 4 weeks, and in that 4 weeks, he seemed like he was a different person than what he was at Wakefield. So whatever they're doing at Salford is working.
It's
weird like that when you, I mean, different environments get the best out of different people. We've probably all experienced it in your career. I've experienced in my career. I'm just shit everywhere I go.
But how many times have we spoke? I always say it's a fine line between getting to a grand final and not, because you've got to have the right coach, the players have got to have the right environment, you've got to have sort of the right dynamics within the team. It's such a fine line.
All the pressure's on all the other teams, and Salford can just go under the radar. They've got nothing to lose.
We had Tommy Davies on last week, and he just sort of spoke about last season when Wigan just get into the playoffs, and then they win all seven of their whatever that was called. What was that called? What was it called, them seven games? Super Eights or some shit? They won all seven, and they just sort of went straight into it with no fear and no pressure and none of that stuff, which is sort of like why I feel Saints might be under the pump here.
Yeah, well, he was saying that they played away at Catalan. They had a good win, and then they all went out on the keg with each other, and he said that it felt like that galvanised them that night out together, and they sort of just
Bit of piss in the boys.
Team bonding.
Better. Right. That'll end part one. We'll be back with player profiles in part two. Stag Sports Performance Wear are the official supplier of all Rugby AM kit. From t-shirts to team wear, their kit is made to last with your own unique design. You can grab some of our exclusive Rugby AM gear by heading to rugbyam.co.uk/shop. Or, why not allow them to create your team's on and off field wear? One-off charity match shirts are specialty. Just email info@stag-sports.com for your bespoke quote today. All right, welcome back. T, you're up first, mate. You've been shoved in it. 106 kegs.
Yeah, that was when I was fit.
Third place, was sitting third.
180 centimetres. Are you catching the ball or passing it there?
Passing, definitely passing.
You're not really looking at it.
180 centimetres, that's a bit...
I was 5'8 then.
5'7?
I was a 5'8 then.
Yeah. Newtown, so did you play Newtown when you played in that grand final?
No, nah, I played too many games at Roosters that year.
Oh, sorry.
No,
speak the truth.
I was at Newtown. I was with Newtown when I was at Roosters, and then went to Sharks.
Yeah.
And then Newtown actually came under Sharks, so I went and ended up playing a bit of Newtown.
Well, that was at Sharks. Yeah. And then they did a little thing with bloody Melbourne as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, that's when we had a stack.
Oh, yeah, that was a load of shit.
And they won the comp too. They cheated.
Yeah. We didn't cheat. All right.
Yeah, we lost the grand final in 2012 to Newtown.
Yeah, that's
I didn't play. Injured.
Stacked team.
yeah, right. 2011 Sydney Roosters, 36 games, three tries. Any nudies in there?
Yeah, there would have been, but yeah, I don't, it's against my religion, mate.
Oh, please. What's your everyone who knows rugby, all the boys get nude in the showers. Polynesians, no. What's going on?
It's just there. Let's get out of respect.
Respect for the wife.
respect to my mental health, mate.
That's what Benny Roberts said to me. The only person that sees this is my missus. Right, lad. Right, yeah, 2011, 2013, Sydney Roosters. What was it like? Because obviously he says from here, Dunedin. Some of my dad's from Dunedin. When did you move over here, and how did it all come about getting a crack at?
So my first head coach was Brian Smith at Sydney Roosters, and then he was the head coach here in 2015. So I got the call, I think it was at the end of that year, and they had a £1 million game, so I had to wait till they won that and then obviously sign and then come over with Anthony Tupou at the time, and then Dave came halfway through that year.
Yeah, caught me into it.
Yeah, just dragged over.
Now we're stuck here for the next, 4 years?
2014 to 15, Cronulla Sharks again, 33 for three tries.
Yeah, number good three, strike rate, good
debut,
strike
debut,
rate.
Debut, first try score of the year too.
Did ya?
Yeah. I think my highlight for the Cronulla Sharks was when I got to play hooker for half a game.
Yeah.
Played one game of hooker, yeah. It was me and Michael Leisha at the time. I come off the bench. During that week at training, they were like, all right, boys, split up into two teams, one over there, one over there. And I got told I was hooker at the time, so I went as a hooker on one side. And I think it was Pat Politone.
Paddy boy.
He was the reserve.
See his, knockout in the Queensland Cup the other week?
Mad haymaker.
Got a hold of him,
But, no dog shot too. It was right in front of him too, so it was good.
Yeah, so the boys started following Pat, and then I think it was Sharpie at the time. He goes, no, half of you's with Felicia and half of you's with T. And everyone just started pissing themselves laughing.
So what position was you playing at the time then?
Prop.
Prop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be a first,
big transition.
Surely. No one's going from prop to hooker.
Mark Waddell? Nah.
I'll take it.
He went the other way. Right, then you moved across to Wakey, 2016, where you played 105 games. Ooh, 100 cob, beautiful. Six tries, so you've doubled your try scoring over the course of, 5 years?
Yeah.
Beautiful. How's that going, mate? How's your time been at Trinity?
No, it's been good. It's been, I feel like I've sort of grown as a player since being here. If you knew me back a few years ago, I was probably a whole, the way I seen the game, the way I grew as a, person at the club, try to be more of a leader. And I know it's a bit hard being injured at the time right now, but that's my sort of role heading in the next few years, is try to set a good example for the young boys coming through and all that sort
of
stuff.
Yeah, I try and do that as well. But
yeah.
I think when you come from the NRL and you've played for clubs like yourself, then it's natural, for you to be seen as a leader, You're coming from the best competition in the world, if we're honest, NRL to Super League. So, I think that's why a lot of coaches bring people over, such as yourselves, for that impact. And, you have a presence about you and you can bring a lot of experience.
I think there's a balance as well. You don't want to be coming here and trying to think that, oh, I've been at, clubs like Roosters and Sharks, you need to do it this way.
Yeah.
You sort of have to adjust to the culture at the club and, obviously we don't have the best facilities, and you have to sort of buy into the everything that Wakefield gives. So once you get that part, then you can start, you earn that respect from all your playing group and peers, and you go that way. I think some players probably come over and take over a bit too early, and then they just get shown the door.
Yeah, I think I agree with you though. I think I've seen it in the past where players have come over and you should be doing it like this, you should be doing it like that, week one and two, instead of just coming in, ripping in and showing back that, they'll do the action, they'll do the hard yards, and then sort of they become the leaders from that. I think you've got to build them relationships, and do you think it's a different game as well? Because I was just going, that was my next
Everyone
question.
Always asks that, doesn't they? There's no real answer. It's just different.
But
isn't
it is a different
Not many big
out.
Boppers over in NRL at the moment, eh?
No, there's only one there and one here. That's it.
it's just weird, eh? I think it's got, obviously, the weather has a fair bit to do with it, but I don't know. It's just a completely different game, isn't it?
Do you
I
know
mean,
what?
It's weird how it takes some players just a year to adjust. When they come over.
One of the biggest surprises with me, when we spoke about Andrew Johns coming over here a few years ago, when he played in that first game when we played Leeds, he come off and said that was the fastest game he's ever played in. That's including Origin and was including an international game.
Yeah, he's
so
a good liar.
But he said, I don't know whether the nerves have got to him or what, but he said that is definitely 100% the fastest game he has ever played in. So, it, you know, like that to me was like, wow, that's a big shot, because I watched State of Origin and, you know, I would have said that's the fastest, but... you know, I think it is a different style of play over here. I really do.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit easier, like, back home when they're getting taught, everyone's getting taught for their position, their roles and stuff like that. So that's why I think if he has to tell one person, he's running across telling another person, that's probably brings a more running.
Well, yeah, sometimes you feel like a robot over there where you have to stick to their system, stick to, you know, get into a point and not being able to play.
So he doesn't
outside.
Have to worry about all that stuff over there.
So what you're saying is we weren't good enough to play with him, so we made his job.
Nutshell, in a nutshell. 10 games for Cook Islands, is that arguably the highlight of your career?
Yeah, it did mean a lot. You know, having both my grandparents from Cook Islands, dad born there and being able to play for my country, you know, I was captain for about 15 minutes on tour, and then I got to take it off me.
Bit of hooker.
The bonding game didn't work out.
But I led the hooker. It's a bit, you know, I still got close friendships with all the boys that played in those teams, and, you know, come World Cup in a couple of years' time, hopefully we're there. I think we got a game in Chicago against USA at the end of the year for that last spot in World
Cup. Expecting the call up then?
No, I won't be playing.
He's coaching again.
I'll probably be one of the oldest in the team coming in a couple of years.
No, you'd be right. 30. Yeah, same age as me. I feel fucking old now, boys.
Same, 34.
Right, on to you, lad. They've stitched you up here, massive. What's going on here? You're off to school.
Bro, when they bought that shirt, that's what I was
called. Surely you just come from school.
That's a school shirt. It's literally just on that white pocket. It was like a badge, just sort of the emblem of the West Magpies. And going, oh, fuck. Right. Times are tough. I think that's when they first broke off with the West Tigers.
Is that a rat's tail there as well?
Yeah.
Any blonde tips in that at any stage? Yeah, that was the trend, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that blonde patch.
That blonde patch. Went for everything there.
Beautiful. 120 kegs they've got you at 194 centimetres.
That's probably...
From Blacktown, New South Wales, undefeated, unanimous street fighting champion. right. Take us back to where it began, mate. 2014 Cronulla Sharks. Is this right?
Yeah. I was playing in mid-20s as West Tigers. Was there for a bit and playing cup, and after that when I just threw it all in, played some A-grade with my mates and signed a deal over in France playing in the local comp.
Oh yeah.
And it went good, went well, enjoyed it, went re-signed over there, and then as soon as I got off the plane I had a meeting with Cronulla Sharks and Melbourne Storm. So Melbourne Storm flew me down there to see the facilities and everything like that.
You don't often see it go, obviously you build into an NRL career, but you're saying you sort of left and then came back. Did you sort of think that, obviously it's any young bloke's dream to grow up and play NRL. Did you think it sort of, the dream died a little bit?
Yeah, you just lose the love for the game after you're trying your best. And I think having a young family and stuff like that didn't work out for me the way I wanted to. But it all worked well now, so I'm happy now. After that, I ended up sort of signing with the Sharks and went from there and just got injured more.
Mate,
so
got nine
injuries as well, so
19 games there. What was it like getting called up to make your debut? How did it go? What did they say to you?
Oh, thank God my brother got suspended there. I think a few of the front rows got suspended.
So you played because of your brother not playing?
him and Varv, another boy from the Out West, got suspended and then they threw me in round two, so it was good.
I've got a Vave story, right? I played 20s with Vave. Sausage. Mate, we're sitting there one day and we'll read, you remember Pitcher magazine? You probably haven't heard of it. It's just not a nudie mag or anything. It's just it's a bit of a nudie mag. We're flicking through Pitcher magazine and Vave's sitting there on the couch and he's looking at it and blah, blah, blah. Young fella's 19, 20. He said, bro, this this Anon sends her pictures in every week. And me and Essie Tonga said, Vava, you fucking idiot. That's anonymous. I miss old Vavs. Hope you're doing well, mate, if you're listening. Yeah, right. 2016, you moved across to Wakey.
Yeah.
85 games, 18 tries, and some spectacular tries at that. Run us through how that came about and how you came across the ditch.
Well, was that Sharks? And I think it was going well. I think I was round three. I was in the team like consecutive in that. And then I got an injury in my knee, and yeah, from there, just I lost my spot, and times were tougher a few weeks. And then halfway through, I was playing for Newtown halfway through the season, and these boys got a hold of me and said, there's an opportunity across the ditch for you. And then they've sold me the dream over at Wakefield, him and Anthony Tupou. And I said, yeah, why not? I spoke to the family, and they said, yeah, why not? Just travel the world doing what you love doing. And yeah, here we are now. It's worked well.
Beautiful.
2010 to 16, you got three games for Tonga and a game for the Indigenous All-Stars. What were both them games like? What was it? Obviously, I'm assuming
Tonga was great. Yeah, it was awesome. I think my first Tonga game was against Cook Islands to knock them out to get in the World Cup.
Sorry, bro. Cheers,
mate. So, it was good. It was an awesome feeling, like the crowds and as you see, everyone sees in that, the sea of red, it's just speechless about that. And
yeah, I mean, that game for against England was just unbelievable. I'm sure you caught that, Woody. Tonga-England game, that was just incredible. It means to be more of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Especially over in New Zealand, they've got such a big fan base over there in Auckland.
Yeah.
They all come together, the streets were wild. Last year I went and watched them versus New Zealand, and it was great.
I love it when they sing the hymns.
Yeah, they just sing all game.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Just
would have been a few punch ups afterwards, but I'm assuming
no. They're all right over there. They just
fuck, please.
In the streets, it's funny as.
Right, should we get into some anonymous questions?
Anonymous.
I got one for you straight away. T, is it true you've got the biggest nipples ever? We could get a little show. Yeah. Well, I don't know about this, so can we get a little bit of show and tell? These are all the way from Australia. No, have we got a bit of time for show and tell or what?
I reckon Sasai Vavi's got me covered.
What are we talking, like 19-inch deep pan or what?
Let's just say ravioli. You know how we wear our undies in the shower? I should be wearing singlet as well.
We'll get you the body vest. Right. Next question. Where is it?
Yeah, thanks whoever asked that question. Yeah. One of the boys back there.
We'll release the information after the show. Dave, tell us about SG ball days on the wing with your brother. You know who's asking these questions by any chance? I've got some deep rooted sources.
We didn't make it, like we done.
Do you play on the wing?
Yeah. I made 20s.
It doesn't surprise me, really.
Him and his brother were sticks.
I made 20s as a centre, yeah.
Jesus.
We went down the country and had to beefed up a bit. Andrew beefed up to about $120 when he made 20s as a front row, and they said, like, do you know anyone else like yourself? And he goes, I got a twin brother.
He's a bit
skinnier than that. And yeah, so. Yeah, we just went from centre, and 20's coach goes, yeah, I think I want you in the back row, a bit bigger. So they bulked up a little bit more, and he goes, we want Fifita on, Fifita off. And I said, oh, yeah. And he goes,
front row. On together.
So, yeah, front row, one's off, just one of us on at all times. And I just said, this sucks. So I had to go in the middle and just defend.
Like you said, though, it doesn't surprise you that you started on wing, because this try that you set up versus Wigan, and you're just flying down the wing, and then you just popped it inside to, is it Johnson?
Max Jowett.
It was a cross-country one.
One of the most famous tries in Super League this year. That's probably got to be up there.
Yeah.
Probably
the Remember best that try. Super League try of the decade I scored? Right. Last question. Back to you, T. Right. Have you ever sustained any injuries while playing cards?
Not up until a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, far out.
Yeah.
Run us through it then.
So what happened, right? Because I can't do any leg weights or anything, I've spent the last few months doing upper body weights. leading up to this card game. I've already done two heavy upper body sessions. So I've played the last card. I've obviously lost. Quickly jump down, do a few push-ups.
Before boys get their cameras out. Yeah, yeah.
Before they get their cameras out, start filming. Anyway, I had to do 10. I'm about three reps in and I just feel this big rip. Yeah, rip me chest. Straight up, got straight up, grabbed my phone, onto the phone to the physio. I go, mate, I think I've just fucked my chest up there. What's going on? He goes, nah, you'll be all right. It's just ripped a few fibers. And anyway, he's behind me laughing and said head off the whole time. And yeah,
cameras are out by then.
He's got his phone, I'm walking around like this. Just holding it. Oh, it's gone.
The only Yuka injury ever known. Right, that'll end part two. We'll be back with part three. Calling all amateur clubs and community sports teams. Do you need help in simplifying the bid, writing and funding process? Sportsfunding.co.uk can help your club gain access to community awards of up to £10,000 and capital funding of up to £500,000. Whether you need funding to improve your facilities or to run your community project, Sports Funding can help. Want to find out more? Visit sportsfunding.co.uk. Right, welcome back to part three. What a start.
Mr. Metcalf, just quickly, can you see the RFL moving us on?
No.
No, so f*** you, Ralph Rimmer, and f*** you, Karen Morehouse.
Explosive allegations.
I'm not smiling at this.
Jesus! What's going on here? Right, we'll discuss it pretty quickly. Mick Gledhill, what's your thoughts on that, mate?
Well, we said previously, you know, if you're a fan of a club...
He's a
passionate Bradford fan. And if you work in the media or involved in rugby league, unfortunately, you've just got to keep that passion to yourself, you know what I mean?
We're all familiar with F-bombs.
Yeah, had a few beers.
Yeah, he's definitely had a few there, eh? He's been on the sauce all day.
Maybe he should apology stop coming drinking.
Out. I think he's already... He said that he's said an apology to Ralph Rimmer, which Ralphie boy has accepted.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Obviously, he's a big one. He's a big Bradford fan, and he's let the passion get to him too much. But unfortunately, when you work in the media, you can't be seen to have favouritism.
Yeah.
It's like... I don't have any favourites.
He's got heavy bias constantly. Well, he's just a passionate fan, mate. His old man was a fan. He's a fan.
Yeah.
He's been on the terraces for like 30... Oh, no, he's younger than me. He's been on the terraces for 25 years. Let's talk more about that Bradford game. Did you catch this? A farewell at Oddsall Boys. About 8,000 people there. To put that in perspective, it's about 6,000 more than you get your games. But that went down well.
Your salary's a lot higher than ours too. So.
No, I'm par. Right. After the game, so game caller, Mick Gledhill there, he had all his stuff taken from his commentary box.
Yep.
People were nicking shit off the field. People came into the dressing sheds and stole the boys' jerseys. Two of the boys, Jordan Lilly and...
I heard they nicked everyone's jersey and brought yours back.
Yeah.
With that one.
You can fuck it up. So they've nicked all the boys. The boys were actually trying to donate their jerseys to some charity as well, because you only get one. This is the thing. Like, people always messaging me, can I get your jersey off? Can I have your jersey after the game? Yeah. Like, mate, I'll get one jersey.
Yeah.
One. Like, home and away, that's it.
I think that's same for Super League as well. You know, it's not like football where you get one every game. It's like one a season.
I'm not bloody Sergio Aguero. I can just rip it off every week and just pass it to someone. That goes to me family and that. But anyway, look, people were nicking stuff. One fella, they're not the smartest, the old Bradford lot. One of them nicked it and then posted it straight on Facebook of the 50-metre sign in his backyard. So everyone just screenshotted it and sent it straight to the club. But it was a pretty sad day, everyone leaving Oddsall, I'll be honest. Amazing turnout, about 8,000 people there. Packed the field afterwards for a big team photo. I don't know if you've seen that going around on social media. But cracking day. I don't know what's going to happen there. Hopefully one day the boys return to Oddsall. But yeah, pretty sad times. I've seen some people there that have been Bradford fans for like 70 years. Just chatting to me.
Where are they off to now, Dewsbury?
Yeah, so, well, I think the RFL's approved 1 year at Dewsbury.
Jesus.
Yeah, short pitch. I'm going to get found out heavy with box kicks and shit. I'll ask for another time. But, Dewsbury, see how it goes. War of the Roses, let's get on to that. Run us through how Legends game. What were you doing there?
I don't know. I got in through default.
Was it like, was it quite serious? Like, were the old boys still fucking
Be honest, I thought it was a bit of a laugh, but...
Because there's some more recent guys that have only retired like in the last 2 years,
Yeah, was it all right until a certain point, until someone just comes in and
no,
just
takes it? No, it was like straight from the off, It was Ryan Bailey elbowed me. It's, I think Joe was saying it's on the highlights in Rugby AM show this week, but about 3 minutes in, Ryan Bailey just run in and went bang, hit me with elbow.
How'd you take that?
And I clocked him one, like, when he was near the line, I got him back after, so it was pretty serious, and then we had a laugh and a joke about it after, but...
No, nuts removed then?
No, after, no, no. After or no, anything? No, everything was all right, but
who's,
yeah.
Who was your 3-2-1? Best on ground?
Oh, mate, Lee Breers killed it.
Someone said he played in a dinner suit, not true?
He did play in a dinner suit, but, mate, he was just class. Scully, Paul Scunthorpe played, he had a good game. Barry McDermott played.
How'd he go?
He did all right, didn't he? Did all right. For 48.
What's his name?
Tansy. How did Tansy go? What's he doing in there?
Jordan. Jordan. Jordan.
Yeah. Tansy is coming. Yeah. He's having a trying to get a comeback next year.
Legends.
We're getting loosely these legends.
Yorkshire lads. You went well for Yorkshire lads, Joe.
Is that the one Gilly played?
Gilly. Stu Fielding. Stu Fielding again. Just 100%. Just didn't know like.
How'd Wagga go?
Wagga went all right, didn't he? Yeah, tried his hardest. Dumped Andrew Henderson, the assistant coach at Warrington. So, yeah, it was good. It was Martin Afire played as well. Obviously, he's a bit of a legend over here. Martin Afire. You know Martin Afire, don't you? Guys.
Yeah, heard of him.
Nah, well.
Get out of here. You not heard of Martin Afire?
Oh, is he? Yeah, the quick fella?
Yeah.
No, I've only seen Holler talking about this year some day.
He's just one of the best British players to ever play the game. That's all
right. I don't even know any other players.
I don't really like bagging players, but, well, yeah, I do. Hey, Watkins dropped by the Gold Coast this week. Have you caught much of his transition into the NRL? No. He's been playing a couple of games. Was that you? Did you see the try on the weekend?
No.
You watch the that's all I've watched. I watched the highlights reel.
That was a cracking try.
It didn't,
but he got a bit dusted at the end there.
It didn't look great. From
who was it? That scored it.
The center
for Newcastle. What's his name?
Is it?
Not, I don't even watch rugby.
Herman? No, it's not Herman.
Raymond? No.
I don't even watch rugby league. You just watch NRL? You just watch any rugby league?
I watch some of my brother's games, that's it.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch rugby league? Because I don't watch a great deal of it, I'll be honest. No. And I never did when I played. I think you just get a bit too much of it. And
I might get through a Super League game if Cass are playing and I watch some of the boys, but I'm affiliation to my mates rather than watching a game of rugby league. If I turned it on, it was anyone. If I turned it on, I didn't even watch the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah. I've done that before, though. I've done it myself, mate. I think you just... It's like being a plumber and going watching somebody do some plumbing work on your day off, I think. You know what I mean? It's just...
Well, that's it.
What time are you fixing that?
I didn't watch footy growing up. I enjoyed playing it. Yeah, don't get me wrong. It's great, but...
Yeah, but...
I went to Penrith Stadium not to watch the footy. I went there walking around the stadium.
Well, like Krispy Kreme donuts.
Having a good view, that was it.
I went to Challenge Cup final because I took my son.
Yeah.
You know, and I wanted him to experience it, but it's... I think we like playing the game. We're not really that good at watching it, are we? Because we get...
Even over here, we played 6 trial games at Bradford. We've played nearly 34 games. Yeah. I've obviously missed heaps of them, but even I'm man, I'll get this season out of the way. We can't make the 5.
Yeah, you do. They need to cut it down. They need to cut this season.
Don't they? How do you improve, people watching it? I know clubs are obviously doing it, playing them trial games to put bums on seats because obviously it's paying ticket holders and every club does it and they need it. But at some stage, they've got to think about the players. I think they're scrapping the...
it's going next year. Easter weekend.
They just need to make
one game over the whole 4 days, whatever it is. Yeah.
If you're on appearance money. Because you get a big chunk in your...
Who's on that these days? Yeah. I don't get that these days.
Well, shows my age, doesn't it? That's how long I'm going
on. No, I mean, I like Magic Weekend and stuff. I like when they make a spectacle.
No, I can that. Make it a buy. Magic Weekend.
Yeah. Buy?
Yeah, have a buy.
Yeah.
Have a buy,
yeah.
What do you reckon?
Magic Weekend.
So I wouldn't mind a weekend. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm a sucker for a weekend off.
Because he got injured, man.
That's where I went down. That's where they just lucky I signed already, so it was great.
The curse of the contract, it gets everyone, doesn't it?
Nah, I got mine when I was injured. My value went like up.
You could just say, look, when I was playing, we were third. Now we're fucked.
Just going on that though, Magic Weekend. I mean, they said it's a concept to try and let everybody experience a game in a big stadium, but it's nothing like playing in a grand final or a Challenge Cup final, actually playing in a Magic Weekend, because it's just not.
No.
You know what I mean? It's completely different. So, you know, I get that it's a different experience, but I agree with what Dave's saying there. It should be a buy that.
See, I don't mind having it, but if it's your second time you're versing that team, you know what I mean? I only want to verse every team twice.
We've versed Halifax like five times this year.
Yeah.
Mm. Like, and it could have been more if we got to drew them again in that 1895 cup. But look, I love the Magic spectacle. I think they should take it back to Newcastle. I thought that was awesome. But I wouldn't mind a bye. I wouldn't mind a bye weekend. They don't even know what they are over here, do you?
Yeah, bye weekend.
Yeah, they do round two, is it? World Club Challenge. That's
World Club Challenge.
It's so too early. It's too early.
We'll kick the season off, then we'll straight into a week off.
Well, it would for me. It would
you
be
need a rest, man.
That may be a good opportunity to bring Yorkshire, the proper Yorkshire and Lancashire back, and try and create an origin over here, because we've tried to do it, but we only give it like 1 or 2 years, and because it doesn't take off straight away, we just can't. But it probably could be a good opportunity to say, listen, we'll take Magic Weekend, give everybody a bye, unless you're involved in Lancashire and Yorkshire.
What about the Exiles game?
Yeah, what happened to that game?
How did that go?
Yeah, again, it's just something we trialled for like 3 or 4 years and it didn't take off, so we just canned it. But
Exiles, we pumped you, eh?
I don't know.
Yeah, big Jolly Monaghan up the wing.
Yeah, I think he went
roll on, son.
They didn't win every one.
Go on, boy.
Get the scores up. I don't even know.
I mean, my problem with the whole situation is you obviously get weekends off for your Challenge Cups if you're not in it, but you get sort of punished for going well.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, Warrington, like, they've been punished for going well. I mean, you know, that 1895 cut they brought in was an absolute shambles. I hope that never comes back. Mm. But, like, you just need you think you need 2 or 3 buys a year. If you're going to run a comp that goes for, like, 27, 28 games,
I think it'll create more quality as well. The games will get better and better, you know what I mean? I look back now and think, fuck me, it would have been nice to have a couple of 3 weekends to freshen us up. Give the lads a chance to like go and experience a bit of Europe, or go on holiday and get some sunshine and just let them unwind a little bit, because it's detrimental to the game. The quality does go down. And
we're 8 games in and Wigan had jerseys 26, 27, 28 and like number 40 and stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about putting bums on seats. That's not really... Not that they're not great, good players, or they will be good players, but they're probably not ready. That's just the facts. Like, no one wants to see guys in jersey number 35.
But how bad was the letting Warrington play on Thursday against Salford after they'd just been on
that's
for like 3 days?
Should be a compulsory 4 days on the source. See you, boys. See you. No, you shouldn't even have to play the next week.
Just
if you're walking around with a massive cup and you've got a game in 4 days, I'm not having it.
I wouldn't play.
No, I was hammy or something.
Just give the other team 2 points.
Yeah, give the 2 points. The 2 points.
No, they need the points though, Warrington. They need them. Right, I think that'll wrap it up, boys. I just want to thank you for coming on the show. We'll get Jesse back for these questions,
because
they're a bit of a stitch up, weren't they?
Don't worry, he won't be eating at home this week.
Nah. We're coming for you. All right, thanks, boys. Woody, thanks. Cheers. As always. Thanks, see you. Guys. We'll see you next week.
This is a Rugby AM production.